Welcome to a new recording. This recording is a motivational explanation of the yoga vital force called prana and how that moves in through our body, in our mind, and in our life to help us to naturally want to crave for a better holistic model. So I hope you enjoy this. We're incorporating the practice of Ashtanga, and this talk came about from a short phone call with Allison McDonald, and she got me to thinking how valuable it would be to add the perspective of natural morality and the eight limbs of yoga. So the Dhammapada is the 2,000-year-old text, maybe even a little older, and has a lot of interesting prosperity, consciousness, raising, vibration, and eternal laws, natural laws. These are the same kind of laws that prophets spoke about, Jesus, other as a classic example of someone that was wanting us to manifest fish and loaves in our lives, not by attacking our quote-unquote opposition or digging up our past, but realigning ourselves with vital life forces. So let's get into this really fun, interesting topic. I love to discuss creativity, abundance, flow, consciousness, and new non-dual awareness. I think there's a craving inside of each of us. It's a natural hunger to want to come home. And that home is, again, filled with vitality. It's a never-ending abode of just sheer energy, infinite amounts. And if we look at the planet Earth, we're just a minuscule in this galaxy. It's compared to be one single grain of sand on a beach in a galaxy that is 14.5 light years and expanding. So how do we become part of that, which we already are? So that's kind of the theme of the topic. And in yoga, in Ashtanga, we utilize the eight limbs. These eight limbs are different aspects of our own mental and physical purity, as well as daily lifestyle tips and things we can explore. So they come out of meditation, stilling the mind. And one of the truisms is that, as David Hawkins says, we become that which we are, not what we say, not what we do, but that which we are. So in a sense, that lag time is an opportunity, an invitation not to quit, not to become impatient or to analyze or play God. So we can step back, let go of, it's a very old Eastern notion of not clinging. Aparigraha is the idea of clinging. So let's go through this one step at a time and enjoy it. So thinking of the analogy I like to utilize is, and it was told to me this way once before, that you have a plant pushing itself up through the cracks of the cement, through the roots of the soil, and breaking through any man-made material. So this is that vital life force. And if we looked at a purpose of our soul, it takes rapture when it comes into alignment with that force. And it is not a force in which is exploited or abused. in any way. It is just a simple washing of light and love throughout the several channels of the body, mind, and spirit. So the eight limbs, so let's study how to get there more quickly. Ashtanga itself means ashto, eight, anga, limb. Ashto, anga, eight, limb. In this practice, we tend to go to the third limb, which is asana. That's our physical practice. It's where we get into our body and we start to move our body into these poses. And that's the third step along the path. But there's two steps before that. And as a Westerner, we get very caught up in our physical body. So what I want us to do is come into our spiritual and mental bodies. These are the different layers that come closer to soul. And they're called koshas, which is another great topic for another discussion. So thinking of the first two limbs of yoga, this is the yamas and niyamas. These are the ways that we can work with the body and the mind to become more at peace, to become more empowered, to become more ourself. So yama and niyama are the first two limbs of Ashtanga, which we talked about, the third limb being asana. The fourth limb is pranayama. The fifth one is pratyahara. The sixth one is dhyana. The seventh is dhyana. And the eighth one is samadhi. So when we're practicing the yamas and the niyamas, we begin to step onto the path. We start to see that it is we ourselves that have our own power. It is we ourselves that are connected to this purity, this clarity, this integration with all that ever was and all that will ever be. That there is no being born, there is no dying. So clearing away the obstructions is the practice of yoga. There is a strong linear and lineage that classical yoga has touted a purification process. So if you practice yoga regularly, if you do, whether it's yin yoga, it doesn't have to be Ashtanga yoga, any kind of yoga that calms your mind and gets you to practice these eight limbs. So let's go into the eight limbs again a little bit more. So working with these energies, for example, I noticed one thing that had happened, and we can look at situations and people like a set of dominoes. When one thing goes down, another thing can go down. But actually, at any point, you have this ability as a awakened, enlightened potential master to stop, notice, and let go. So, and not to be part of that cause and effect that you're at the effects, you're victimized by external situations and people, but you're at the cause, and we all are. So that, as Jean Paul Sartre once said, we're condemned to be free. In other words, we're unsettled. We're not really happy until we have touched and tasted that nectar, that bliss that says, I am in charge. I'm at the cause. So some of the ways to stay in and on that path is to clear up these energy blockages. So we do that by working with the nadis of the body, N-A-D-I-S. Now, picture this. Your whole system has 72,000 of them. They are energy channels of the subtle body called nadis, and they allow themselves to access and harness this life force we're talking about. It's called prana. So it's not just like getting some caffeine and feeling a little high or a little better for a little while. The thing about the yoga practice and continuing to do the yoga practice is that it does become a one-way street. You start to make these changes within and see the fruits and the benefits, because you will come into these eternal laws. It's just, that is the cool thing about this, is what I think personally. But we can't argue with eternal. So, and I don't know a lot. There's still a lot of this stuff that I don't know myself, just so that you can take a nice deep breath for yourself, take a step back, and just remember we're here to open the inner body, to get strong on the inside, to clear the nadis. So we want to lift our vibration up from this brute force to this vital force, and that we could do that through looking at our emotional grid. So when we have carry things like resentment, anger, bitterness, if we feel that we were lost, well, we were treated unfairly, that something happened that blocked us of our destiny, you know, mind matters most. So our mind is so powerful, it'll believe what we believe. So if we believe one thing, we'll construct a world around that belief. If we believe something else, it will construct. This is a whole science called social construction or constructivism. And one of the things I found with practicing yoga is that it gets at the deeper link of my own personal chain. So going back to personal example with Alex, my daughter, who's always a teacher in my life, I love her so much, but she'll make a mistake. I'll ask her to do something, she doesn't do it, and then something else results of that, and something else is that I could be upset at her. I could use that as fuel, you know, to one-upman when we get into an argument in the future. But, you know, for this divine connection has taught me so much, because I've always sown the seeds in this relationship as best as I can. I wasn't always perfect, but for the most part, I see the beauty coming out in her, through her, because I stop, I don't go there. I focus on my own imperfections and flaws, and then the balance of that love is reciprocated, so that she brings back to me forgiveness. She brings back to me this prioritization, and again, putting the emotional grid correct. So compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, letting go, seeing the divinity in all of us. We're just here for a brief, this life flying by. Do you see the divinity in yourself and your loved ones? Do you harness and bring that out in them? Or do we play that lower game of putting power, and that's so our choice. That's, we have free will. We can choose which road we want to continue to travel. Yama and niyamas are broken down into several different categories, which we will go into a little bit later. But I wanted to step back and give the big picture right now. Now, basically, we can go there very briefly. We don't have to stay long on the topic. Yamas is non-stealing, non-possessiveness, truthfulness, preserving vital fluids, and non-violence. Okay, so those are acts code, moral acts of code that we put out into the world, to the universe. The niyamas are things internally that we do. So it would be keeping ourselves internally clean, having our mind focusing on clean, positive things, studying Sanskrit texts, austerity. This means, integrity, having a practice, a continual way of continuing to keep these energies clean and keep purifying, keep going. Contentment, living with awareness of God's will. So I'm going to just talk for a second about the yama and the niyama in terms of energy transference. So when we are violent, when we harm, we are actually in the long run giving our energy away. In the short run, we feel power. We get energy. We feel revitalized. In the long run, we feel depleted again. So we have to go back. So to break these addictions, any kind, is a practice of really getting in there and, you know, what is our inner dialogue? Are we talking negatively about ourselves, to ourselves? You know, do we really believe we're damaged, flawed? Is that, you know, what's really behind a lot of that pain? Let it go. You know, a lot of the different religions and teachers, and I think it saves a lot of dollars in therapy too, if it just really got symbolic, step back, let it go, let a bigger power move through each and every one of us as it wants to in its way. So kind of getting out of the way and allowing everyone to have their own unique expression toward this light. So this is not a religion, which is really, really nice, I like. And it is a way that we can, I feel inspired and wanting to have a greater selection, a bevy of choices. So in that moment we feel before, no, I only had this choice. I only saw it this way. This is a detached, non-possessive. So a parigraha is a yama. And sorry, I had to look at the grid. And that's what I practice, okay? So it really helps a lot. We live in such a way so many times with ourselves and with others that we hold these exacting standards that are impossible. So, you know, where are we going if we put a ladder? We get to the top of the ladder, as one of my yoga teachers said, only to discover we placed it against the wrong house. Okay, so we want to get back into our roots. And we want to feel that energy flow. We want to feel the union, one with the all. We'll just call it the all. We want to lock or seal and protect that energy in. We want to continue looking in the right direction and continuing to journey inside, encouraging each other to work more deeply, to clear and open, and to harness this internal life force. And to see you are a revolution in the making, as is everybody. So all of us are doing this all the time. Now, we may not act like it or look like it, but we really do. Like a snake, we want to shed the skin. We want to start all over again. We want to grow, we want to learn. We start back, go right back down to the bottom, and we go up the chakras. So we don't just, it's not an idea to lift our energy up and then float somewhere in space and just say, okay, I'm removed from the rest of humanity and I found my eternal bliss. What we really are saying is we go right back down into and notice, because everybody has that access portal and capability. So increasing energy in our practice, the last thing I'll just say, helps us to tone and relax the nervous system, strengthen the glandular body, increase strength and endurance, internally align the body with these higher energies, and increase energy overall in our day-to-day life. This brings a greater capacity for attention, and when we become more single-pointed and focused, we're able to cut through our own stories, basically. So like a spider that goes out and weaves those webs, we do the same thing. We're constructing all the time these mental pictures and belief systems. One of the nice things about meditation and non-possessiveness is stepping back, getting in touch with our highest self, and then by that vibration coming into manifesting from a beautiful, more nature-like, you know, serene. When you go out to beautiful nature and see these beautiful things on Facebook and you think, gosh, you know, this system is so perfect. What are we thinking? You know, spending time in them, in our heads and getting up into unhealthy forms of thinking and then feeling low self-worth and then getting prone to addiction. And, you know, it's just nice to be able to clean up those contaminated links. So the idea about the Dhammapada and the eternal law is that if you take the pollutants out of the river begins to pristinely flow clearly, purely, and fresh once again. So I hope you have enjoyed this talk on the eight limbs of Ashtanga, and I hope that you're excited to practice together in our training and to clear the nadis and the energy networks and to be yourself and to look more deeply at what inspires you, your hero, your dream work, and your everyday putting it into practicality. So I like nothing better than, to continue to expand these new horizons for all walks of life, because it's there and it's so overlooked. And nature and beauty is the sublime. It is the subtle, quiet voice of our soul, the song, if you will, of our home. So I encourage you to go through the handout tonight on the eight limbs of Ashtanga, read through the article and fill out the questions, and we'll cover the material tomorrow. Thank you and namaste. And for more information about Clayton Yoga, feel free to go to our website, www.claytonyoga.com, or give us a call at 314-630-1677. Thank you, and you are awesome. Bye.